You're ready. You're live.
Well, it's a very great joy to be here today and to have the opportunity of being in Elmont and the Bible Baptist Church. What a blessing. You never know what a day's going to bring forth. And so it's nobody knew a year from now that we'd been having this kind of a service. I've been preaching these kind of services since about the middle of March, and so it's quite a challenge. But anyway, God's word is not bound, and we thank God for that. It is always able to penetrate and to be able to work in people's lives. So it's a joy. God's been good to me. Thank you for your prayers. All of you have been praying for me out there. I appreciate so much your prayers. I'm feeling great. Finished all my treatments and just carrying on, pressing on. I really would love to have my trailer here, but it's not here. I'm staying here in the church prophet chamber, and but I'll be going back to it. It's up in Connecticut. I'm going to be going up there for meetings after this. And so we are still pulling the trailer, and appreciate your prayers. It's a joy to be able to do that still and have the health to do that. People say, how long are you going to do it? Well, as long as the meetings are there and as long as I have the health to do it, that's what I want to do. All right, well, let's take our Bibles this morning. And I would love for you to turn, if you will, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 5. And in 2 Kings, chapter 5, we're going to read some verses out of God's Word. So if you got your Bible there, please join with me and follow along as I read. Bible says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that's in Samaria, for he will recover him of his leprosy. All right, well, let's look to the Lord, the word of prayer, shall we? Father, we just thank you for every opportunity to open the Bible. We pray you'll use the Bible in our midst this very morning. And Lord, that you would help us to look into your word with open heart, and our ears would be open, our hearts would be open. And Lord, that you would save the lost, that you would stir the heart of your people. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the glory for it all. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen. Now, in this day, which I'll be preaching, here, May 31st, and I want to preach both services on the subject of in times like these that we're living in. You know, you ever heard that song, In Times Like These? I love it. You need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Times like these, you need the Bible. And so I want to just think about that this day with you folks in times like these. And first of all, this morning, I want you to see that in times like these, God wants you to be like Naaman. God wants you to be like Naaman in times like these. All right, I want you to see what Naaman's like in this passage of Scripture. Now, Naaman is a man who started out his life. He started out on the road to hell. And he got off that road to hell and got on the road to heaven. And so that's what God would like you to do as well, to get off the road to hell and get on the road to heaven, to be like Naaman. You see, this man was rich, but he was heading for hell. And the Bible says that he got off that road and he got on the road that leads to heaven for all eternity. So I want you to notice a number of things about this man Naaman. First of all, I want you to see the man that he was. The man that he was. In verse number 1, the Bible says that he was a great man. He was a great man. He was more than famous. He was a great man. But you know, being great doesn't take care of your problem and my problem and Naaman's problem. And that is the problem of sin. Being great doesn't take care of that. You see, it is that which is the problem all of us have. We're born with this problem of sin. We've sinned against the Lord. And so being great doesn't remove that. You know, why was this man Naaman great? Well, he was great because, number one, he was honorable. He was an honorable man. He was honest. Wouldn't it be wonderful you'd have some honest politicians today? Not that all of them are dishonest, but boy, there's a lot of them aren't very honest. People aren't very honest today. You know, Abraham Lincoln was a great man. One of the reasons why he was such an honorable man, he was an honest man, Abraham Lincoln was. One time he got too much change, a few pennies more, and he walked all the way back to the place where he had purchased that. He walked. It was, you know, not close to walk. It was a far walk. But he walked all the way back because he wanted to return just a few cents that he got from the person that was running the store that he shouldn't have received. He was an honest man. Well, that's the way Naaman was. He was a honest man, but he was a leper. See, being honest doesn't take care of the disease of leprosy. Leprosy in the Bible, by the way, is a picture of sin. God uses it to describe sin and to picture it. And so this man had this disease of leprosy. He was a great man because he was honorable, but it didn't take care of his leprosy. See? And then something else, he was courageous. He was a very courageous man. He's a man of valor. He was a great warrior. And because of his conquering of the Israelites, Syria and Israel at war, and he's a captain of the Syrian army, and yet because he was the captain of the Syrian army and very courageous, yet he was still a leper, the Bible says. It didn't remove his leprosy. All the courage in all the world cannot remove the leprosy of sin that all of us are born with. This disease of sin that we're all afflicted with, does it remove it from our souls, being courageous or being honorable? You know, if Naaman were here this morning and you were to meet him, you know, you would perhaps say, well, boy, what happened to that man's nose? Leprosy was a horrible disease. It would eat away parts of your body. And you may say, well, what happened to that man's nose? Or you might say, boy, he doesn't smell very good. And you see, his flesh was rotting. And there's nothing more horrible to smell than rotting flesh. But I don't think there'd be anybody who would say, you know what? I'd like to be like Naaman. You know, I'd like to be like Naaman. You know, I don't think there'd be anybody to say that. But you know something? We all are like Naaman. Because we are all lepers. We're born with the disease of sin. And we're all like him, you see. So we see that this man, Naaman, was a great man. Yet he was a leper. He had this great problem. This disease was destroying his body. And a picture of sin. And sin is that which will condemn us to hell for all eternity. So we see the man that he was. But then I want you to note the maid that he captured. The maid that he captured. In verses 2 and 3 of 2 Kings chapter 5, this man, Naaman, he captured a little Jewish girl. She's probably not even a teenage girl. But he captured this little girl. And you know, if it hadn't been for this little girl, Naaman would never have gotten off that road to hell that we're all on because we're born sinners. He would never have gotten healed of that horrible disease of leprosy. You see, we know the coronavirus and COVID-19 is a horrible disease, but it can't take your soul to hell. You see, the worst disease in all the world is the disease of sin. We're all born with that disease, and we're afflicted with it. And so we find that this little girl is captured, and one day she says to her mistress, she says, "Hey, I know someone who can take away Naaman's leprosy, that he can be healed. There's someone who can do that." Of course, she's talking about Elisha, the prophet, the man of God. And so she speaks up and says, "You know, hey, why don't you have him go to Elisha? And he's able to work a miracle and heal him of his leprosy." Elisha is a picture of Jesus Christ. Elisha is a picture of how Jesus Christ is able to take care of our disease of leprosy. And so we find this little girl, you know, she speaks up. You know, she was used of God. Oh, you know, the reason why Naaman got off that road to hell and on the road to heaven was because there was someone that God could use. Are you someone that God can use, Christian? You know how we need today some Christians that God can use. She was usable. This would be a totally different story if there hadn't been someone that God could use. This little girl. She was courageous. She had compassion. I mean, she's taken away. She could have been filled with bitterness. She could have hated Syria. And she could have said, "Boy, he deserves to die. You know, he's taken me away from my mom and my dad. He's taken away from my country. You know, he deserves to die." She could have been filled with vengeance. She could have been filled with bitterness and anger. But, you know, she wasn't filled with that. She was filled with a compassion. And she had compassion on Naaman. And she spoke up. And she told the mistress that there was a prophet of God who could bring healing for his disease. You know, there was a lady one time by the name of Millie. Millie lived in New York City. This is a true story. She lived in New York City. And she was an immigrant. She's from Poland. And Millie was a Christian. She had been saved, and but she was very poor. She worked, you know, just washing floors and very, very meager type of existence. And Millie was in her church, and one day they were having a missions conference in the church, and God spoke to the heart of Millie, and she came forward, and she says to the pastor, "Pastor, I just want to be used of God. I just want to go wherever God can use me." And so the pastor's kind of taken back a little bit because, you know, Millie's just a very, very uneducated lady. And, you know, she's never been to Bible college or anything like that. She was very poor. And so pastor says, "Well, Millie, why don't you just go home and why don't you just think about that and see what the Lord may impart to you as to what you should do." Well, Millie comes back and she says, "Pastor," a few days later, she says, "Pastor, I know where God wants me to go. I know how and where God wants to use me." And pastor said, "Well, where's that, Millie?" And Millie says, "Right here. He wants me to stay right here in this church and to serve the Lord in this church." And that day, Millie dedicated herself to being used of God in the local church. You know what we need is some people in our country, in our churches, who will be dedicated to being used of God right here in their local vicinity, right here in their church, right here where they live. You know, you don't have to go over to some mission field to be used of God. You can be used of God right here. America needs some people who can be used of God, some Christians who can be used of God. You know, that's the way Millie was. And Millie dedicated herself, and boy, she was passing out tracts, and she would invite people to come to church, and you know, she would serve the Lord in that church and do whatever she could do to be used of God. She just wanted to be used of God. And, you know, Millie, the Bible tells us, is a picture of the way God wants every Christian to be, one who's dedicated to being used of God. Well, Millie, she died. And the pastor was very concerned about whether or not they'd even have anybody come to her funeral. They were having it in the church. And he was wondering, because she didn't have any relatives over here. And she was just a poor immigrant lady. And he was wondering, would anybody show up? That church was packed. It was packed. They had a balcony, and the balcony was even packed. And the pastor was kind of shocked and surprised. And he says, is there anybody here would like to say a word about Millie? And you know, I'll tell you something. A man stood up. He was a well-dressed businessman and very, very well-to-do. And he said, you know, I just thank God for Millie, because if it wasn't for Millie, I would never have come and heard the Word of God and received Jesus Christ as my Savior. And you know that that service went on as people would stand up here and there and tell of how Millie was used of God in their life. And oh, the impact that that little washer lady had in that community, because she just dedicated herself to being used of God. Oh, I'll tell you something. Have you ever really come as a Christian and dedicated yourself to be used of God in your local church? Are you serving the Lord in the local church? Oh, I'll tell you something, dear friend. God wants you to give yourself to being used of God, to dedicate yourself to being used of God. What a different story it would be. What a different outcome it would have been if there hadn't been for this little girl. If she hadn't said, you know, I want to be used of God. And I'll tell you what, Naaman would never have gotten off that road to hell and on the road to heaven. Thank God for people that want to be used of God. Hey, Christian, it's time to dedicate yourself anew and afresh to being used of God. I'll tell you what, this is a time to be used of God. You can be used of God. There's no certain circumstance we have to be in to be used of God. You can give out a tract. You can pray. You can pray for people that you know, your neighbors. You can invite people, you know, to come and perhaps have a Bible study with you as you do something over a live stream or something of that nature. You know, we have so many different technological methods whereby we can be used of God. All right, notice something else about this man, Naaman. Not only do we see the man he was and the maid that he captured, but notice something else. We see that the Bible says the mistake that he made. I want to talk about the mistake that King Naaman made, or not King, Captain Naaman made. And the mistake, first of all, that he didn't make. Let's look at that. Think about that. The mistake he didn't make. He didn't make the mistake of saying, well, you know, someday down the road, I'll get right with God. Someday down the road, I'll get off the road to hell and on the road to heaven. Someday down the road, I'll deal with my sin, you know? He didn't make that mistake. The Bible says as soon as he found out from this little girl who told, you know, his wife, and his wife told him, as soon as he found out that there was someone that could bring healing to his awful disease, leprosy, the Bible says in verse 5, he departed. He went right on his way. He didn't wait around. He didn't say some other day. He didn't procrastinate. You know, hell is filled with people who plan to get right with God, but they waited too late. They waited too long. Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know not what a day is going to bring forth. I'll tell you something, dear friend, if there's one thing we should be observing, and that is that life is fragile. Life is uncertain. You never know what a day is going to bring forth. One time, the devil and his demons of hell got together. They said, how can we keep people from getting right with God and off the road to hell and on the road to heaven? How can we do that? And one demon stood up and he spoke and he said, you know, I know, we'll just go up there and we'll whisper in people's ears that, you know, the Bible is not true. It's just a fairy tale book. It's not true. And the devil, you know, he slapped that demon in the face, said, that will never work. Anybody that studies the Bible and, you know, sees all the prophecies of the Bible that have been fulfilled, you know, that were given hundreds and hundreds of years before that ever took place, you know, they'll never disbelieve the Word of God. Isn't it amazing how the devil is surprised probably today how many people don't believe the Bible? He's probably surprised. When we got all these fulfilled prophecies, you know, and people just don't want to believe the Bible. And so he said, that will never work. People, then he sense knows the Bible is true. And then one other demon, he spoke up and said, well, we'll just go up there and tell people that Jesus isn't the Son of God. He's just a man. And the devil slapped that demon in the face and said, oh, that will never work. Anybody observes the life of Jesus Christ, sees all how he fulfilled all the prophecies, how he the miracles he did. Oh, they're not going to believe he's just a man. They're not going to believe that. And then finally, there was another demon. He stood up and he said, I know what we'll do when we go up there to keep people from getting off the road to hell and on the road to heaven. We'll just, as they're hearing the Bible preached and the way of salvation preached and how they can be saved for all eternity, through the Lord Jesus Christ. When they're hearing that message, we'll just go up there and we'll just whisper in their ears and say, tomorrow, some other time, tomorrow. And the devil jumped up and down with glee and said, that's it. Folks, I'll tell you something. Hell is filled with people who said tomorrow. You know, the reason why Naaman got off the road to hell and on the road to heaven is because he departed right away. He said, I want to get rid of this leprosy disease. I don't want to die the horrible death of leprosy. Now, I'll tell you something, the horrible dying in your sin. The Bible says the moment a person dies of their sin, they'll be in hell for all eternity. Boy, I tell you something, I don't want to live with hope. I hope I'm going to heaven. I could die. You could die. I mean, who knows what we're going to have happen tomorrow. We don't know. Car could hit you, get you. You know, something kill you. Or some disease. You know, and I'll tell you something. Dear friend, the devil wants you to say tomorrow. God says today. Now is the day. Now is the time. Today, 2 Corinthians 6:2. Today is the day of salvation. Say, some of you have been putting it off. It's time. You know, God has allowed this disease and all these troubles. God has allowed it to get your attention, to get you to realize, hey, it's time that you need to get off that road to hell, because that's the road all of us are on because of our sin. You know, we all are lepers. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. And the wage of sin is death. Dear friend, this man didn't make the mistake of saying tomorrow. The reason why he got off that road to hell, on the road to heaven, is he said, I'm going to take care of it today. I'm going to that prophet Elisha. I want to get this disease taken care of. This soul disease of sin, which leprosy is a picture of in the Bible. So we find the mistake he did make. But notice the mistake he did make. He did make a mistake here. And the mistake he made is that he went to the wrong person. He went to the king of Israel. He didn't go to the prophet Elisha. He went to the king of Israel. Now, dear friend, you got to go to the right person if you're going to have, you know, a cleansing from your sin and forgiveness for your sin. And if you're going to get off the road to hell and on the road to heaven, you got to go to the right person. And that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is God. And he went to that cross and he took your sin and my sin and all the sin of all the world, and he paid the price for our sin. He made a big mistake. You know, he went to the wrong person. And then he made a big mistake in that he went with his works. He thought that, you know, the way he could get cleansing from his sin was to bring good works with him and to offer money and nice clothes and all these kind of things. The Bible says in verse 2 Kings chapter number 5 that he came with his money and he came with 750 pounds silver, that would be how much? 10 talents of silver. He came with 10 talents, but that would equal 750 pounds of silver. He came with 6,000 pieces of gold. That would be about 150 pounds of gold. And then he came with 10 sets of clothes, garments, and so forth. You see, he thought it was his good works, what he did, that would take care of his disease of leprosy, his being on the road to hell, and get on the road to heaven. He thought it was his good works. Well, you know, the Bible makes it very plain, friend, that you don't get off that road to hell and on the road to heaven by your works. Isaiah 64:6 says, all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. The Bible says, all our iniquities, all our sins are as filthy rags. In Titus chapter 3, verse 5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, not of your works, lest any man should boast. I'll tell you something. We got to heaven by our good works. People be boasting. What'd you do? I did this. Well, I did more than you did. And heaven be filled with pride. It's people be boasting. Listen, people in heaven, you know what? People on the road to heaven, they don't boast in what they're doing or what they've done as to be the reason why they're off that road to hell and on the road to heaven. No, they're boasting in what Jesus has done. They're boasting in the work of Jesus Christ. You see, good works. He thought that it would be his works that would lift this heavy burden of leprosy, the disease of leprosy. I'm sure his heart was, sad every day he woke up. He could look and see those white spots all over, and he could see that he had this horrible disease and what a burden it was. Well, he didn't get rid of that burden by his good works. That's what he thought. He had to come to that place. You see, what the Lord wants you to realize, if you're going to ever get rid of the burden of your sin, you got to realize it's through faith and humility. You see, that's the way you get rid of the burden of sin. It's through faith, not works, through faith and humility. Only a humble faith, apart from works, can deliver your soul from the disease of sin, which leprosy is a picture of in the Bible. Only a humble faith, you see, can do that. But not only do we want to see the man he was and the maid he captured and the mistake that he made, but I want you to know something else, the message that he heard. He heard a message that was delivered by Elisha, the prophet of God. And you read about that message in verses 8 through 13. Notice what the message was. The message was that, it was very plain message. And that is this, that it was through the prophet Elisha. That was the message. It was through the prophet, very plain. It was through the prophet Elisha. See, he was the only one who could bring that cleansing that Naaman needed through the prophet Elisha. You know, a lot of religion says you need Jesus, but, you know, they want to add somebody else to Jesus. They want to add some prophet to Jesus. You know, the Mormons want to add, Joseph Smith. They want to add, other religions want to add some other a prophet like Muhammad or something like this. No, the Bible says that it's only Jesus that can give you cleansing from your sin and get you off the road that leads to hell. In Galatians chapter 2:21, what the Bible says that when we add something to Jesus, we frustrate the grace of God and we make it empty. We make it vain. It's powerless. There's no power to deliver from the penalty of sin and the presence and the power of sin only in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 2:21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. He died in vain. If you add anything to him, you say, It's empty. His death is meaningless. It is powerless. It cannot do anything for you. You see, the message is very plain. It was through Elisha the prophet. And Elisha the prophet in the Old Testament is a picture of Jesus Christ. And then we find something else about this message. The Bible says it was very, very, very simple. Naaman had to do was to go down into the Jordan River and to dip himself seven times. What was so hard about that? That's pretty easy and very simple. God's message is plain and very simple. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Receive Him. That's plain and simple. Repent. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it was very close. This Jordan River was very close. I mean, Naaman wanted to go to some river in his home area. Well, that was far away. I tell you something. The message is very simple. It's very close. Jesus Christ is close. He knocks at your heart's door. He's there. He's closer than your breath. All you have to do is to call on Him. Wherever you are, you don't have to call loudly. Just call it from your heart. And He can hear that call. It's a message that's very close. It was a message that was free. It was by faith. All we have to do is receive it. You say, it's by faith. It's a message that's free. Every one of us can have faith. It's not a gift that, God gives you. Faith is something He gives you, just because you're a human being. Every human being has faith. You have faith to believe that when you get in your car, you put the key in there, it's going to start. Or when you push the button nowadays, I guess. You don't need a key, just a fob or something like that. But, we have faith. We exercise every day. When you sit down in a chair, you have faith that chair is going to... You see, it's simple, the message. It's close. It's free. It's by faith. But now how does this man respond to this message? How does Naaman respond to the message he hears? He rejects it. Verse number 11, the Bible says... But Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leprosy." You see, he rejects it. He rejects it in two ways. Number one, he rejects it by getting mad. He gets upset. The Bible says here he's filled with wrath. And, that's too simple. He gets upset. It's too easy. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. It's simple. You know, he thought he would have to go through some hoops and jump through some, religious rituals or whatever. It says it's too simple, you see. He's angry. You see, he didn't want to come the humbling way. He didn't want to go down that Jordan River and duck seven times in that Jordan River. Jordan River is a dirty river. Jordan's a picture of judgment. It's a picture of Calvary in the Bible. He didn't want to humble himself and have to obey God, go down there and do what God said to do. He didn't want to humble himself. He's full of pride. And then the Bible says also he rejected it by not only getting mad, but he rejected it by saying, "I thought." He thought there'd be some other way. Some other way. The Bible says, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." There's no a way. There's the way. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." There's no many ways to heaven. You know, one time I saw pictures of, different roads to heaven. And there was the Christian road. There was the Mohammedan road. There was, other kinds of roads. There was... naming all the religions, Indian, road and so forth, and that they all... No, my friend, the Bible says there's only one road, and that road is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way, and it's through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Naaman says, I thought that I could do it my way. Bible says there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It's not your way. It's God's way. Say, it's a way of humility. It's a way of faith. Dear friend, that's the only way you can be set free from the burden of sin that you're born with. This terrible disease of sin that we're born with. We have to do anything to get it. We were born with it. And the only way that you can be delivered from it is through humility and faith. Through saying, Lord, I am unable to deliver myself from my awful burden of sin. And then to put your faith in what the Bible says. Faith, you see, is obeying God. Faith is obeying the Word of God and doing what the Word of God has to say. But then I want you to note, lastly, the fifth thing about this man Naaman, who God wants you to be like. In times like these, he's someone God will want you to be like. There are a lot of people in the Bible God doesn't want you to be like. You know, a lot of people, he doesn't want you to be like Judas. He doesn't want you to be like that rich man who, you know, say, I got lots of time, I'm going to tear down my barns, build greater, and then down the road I'll think about eternity. He doesn't want you to be like that. He wants you to be like Naaman. Naaman was a man who, I want you to see this, he said yes to God's method. He said yes to God's method. The method that he accepted, Naaman, was God's way. He said yes to God's way to being delivered from this awful burden of the leprosy of sin that he was afflicted with. He said yes to God's way. Now, what is God's way? God's way involves two things. It involves a change of mind. A change of mind. That refers to the fact of repenting of your way. A change of mind and say, you know, it's my way isn't going to get the job done. To get off this road that leads to hell that I'm born on because of my sin, I've got to turn from my way to do it. You know, people just want to do everything their way. You know, I think it's one of the results of the curse of sin that came on Adam. You see, Adam, before he sinned, he loved to do things God's way. He just loved to do things God's way. It brought great joy. By the way, there's a secret of joy in your life. Start doing things God's way. Say, live your life God's way. Follow God's way. And God's way is revealed right here in this book. In the Word of God, God's way. And so, Adam, after he sinned, the curse was he wanted to do it his way. You know, Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53 that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And folks, I'll tell you something. Your way is not going to get you delivered from the burden of sin. This awful disease of sin that we're all born with, it's not going to deliver you from that. Your way is not going to do it, say. That's what turning and doing it God's way. That God's method is to change your mind about your way and to say, I'm not going to do it my way. I can't do it my way. God, my way is not going to get the job done. So it's a change of mind and repenting of your way to take care of your sin. Your way, my way, a church's way, human ways to take care of sin. Baptism, good works, that's our way. That's man's way, say. Man's way would never think of the cross. Man's way would never think of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. Man is proud. He wants to do it his way. That's pride. Your way, that's what pride is. Turning, you got to turn from your way. And so that's when you accept God's method and you say yes to God's method to be delivered from the penalty of sin and the burden of sin. You got to turn from your way, repent of it. And then it involves a change of heart. Not only a change of mind, from your way to God's way, as it's real in the Bible, but a change of heart. That is a willingness to obey what God says. to do it, what the Bible says. You see, when Naaman changed his mind about his way, and he had a change of heart about obeying God, you know what he did? He went down that river Jordan. He went down to the river Jordan, and he got down in that river Jordan, and he obeyed what the prophet said. The prophet had said to him, you go down there, that Jordan River, you get in that river, you duck yourself seven times. You know, it wasn't three times, it was seven times. And, you know, I think old Naaman probably went down under that river three times, and he maybe looked up and see if his left was still there. He had to obey God fully and completely. And that was to totally and completely do what God's word said, and that is to obey God and to put his faith in what God said through the prophet. When he ducked himself seven times, he would be cleansed of that awful disease of leprosy. You see, when those two things were in Naaman's life, God knew, and it showed that he was identifying himself with the way of humility and the way of faith. He was identifying himself with the way of humility and the way of faith. And you know what? The Bible tells us that the moment he did that, there were two wonderful results. Two wonderful results when he said yes to God's way and no to his way. There were two wonderful results. Number one, the Bible says that he was his flesh became as a little child's flesh. It became as a little child's flesh. The Bible says in verse 14 of chapter 5 of 2 Kings, then he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Can you imagine the tremendous burden that was lifted when he looked down after obeying God and God's word, and he saw that his flesh was like the flesh of a newborn child? And I love to feel the flesh of a newborn baby or just a young child. You know, it's so soft and so smooth, so clean. I mean, it's just a wonderful thing to see. And I'll tell you something, dear friend, that's what happens when you humble yourself to God's way, and you say, Lord, I can't save myself. I can't deliver me from my sin. My good works can't do it. Nothing I can do. And when you obey God and put your faith and trust in the Word of God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's the one who died for you. When you put your faith totally, completely to Him, that's exactly what will happen. There will be a lifting of this burden of sin. And you will be able to sense that you are set free from the power and the presence of the penalty of sin. It's a wonderful thing. I remember when I was 16 years old as a teenage boy, you know, of coming and humbling myself and turning to God's way and from my way and putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Oh, I remember the burden that was lifted and how clean I felt. Yeah, I can feel clean. I love to get cleaned up after I'm, you know, out working and get dirty and, you know, and covered with sweat and dirt and, you know, crud all over you. And you come in and you're cleaned up. It feels so good. You can be so tired, but boy, that's something about getting cleaned up just revitalizes you. And it just recharges you. And you're ready to go. And that's what happens when a person is willing to turn from their way of taking care of their burden of sin and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ who died for them on the cross of Calvary. Oh, the Word of God says that, you know, he had his flesh become like a little child. And then the second wonderful result that took place here for Naaman in chapter 5 and verse number 15, the Bible says, in verse number 15, and he returned to the man of God, and he and all his company came and stood before him, and he said, "Behold, now I know that there's no God in all the earth, but in Israel. Now I know." You see, you know, you will not hope you're going to heaven anymore. You will not have a question of what would happen to you if you were to die. That won't be there. You know, not too long ago, I was diagnosed with cancer, prostate cancer. And, I didn't really get all bent out of shape. You know, so many people are walking around scared to death if they get the COVID or whatever. And if they die, they're scared. You know why? It's because they don't know where they're going. They don't know. They don't have that peace to know that if they die, they go to heaven and not to hell. Well, Naaman said, "Now I know." There was no uncertainty in his life anymore. He had great confidence that he was going to go to heaven for all eternity. Oh, dear friend, will you say yes to God's way like Naaman did? That's how he got off the road to hell and on the road to heaven. God, in times like these, wants you to be like Naaman, to get off the road to hell, get on that road to heaven, you see. I'll never forget, I was in Montana a number of years ago, preaching the Bible in a local church out there. And one night I preached just a simple message in the way of salvation. That it comes by humbling yourself and turning from all your works and putting your faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Well, there was a lady there who was visiting. She came as a guest. And, you know, she got mad. She didn't like what I was preaching. She was filled with pride. That's why she got mad. She was full of pride. She was thinking of all her good works and her religiosity and all these things. And she was full of pride. And she walked out of that service and she wasn't a happy camper. She was kind of upset, to tell you the truth. You know, actually, that was conviction. The Lord was convicting her and of her pride and her self-confidence and her trusting in her good works, you know. Well, I was sad to see her go away that way. And I just committed to the Lord and said, "Lord, this is your truth. And I hope that one day she'll come to realize it." Well, I came back to that church about 2 or 3 years after I'd been there at that particular time for another meeting. And you know, the first service, the first one to come up to me was that lady who got all upset. And instead of being mad, she was so glad. She was so glad. She said, "You know, when I heard you preach that first time, I got upset. I was really filled with pride, I know now. It was a bunch of pride in my life." But she said, "You know, the more I thought about it, the Word of God began to penetrate my heart. The Holy Spirit began to show me that I needed to turn from my way to get to heaven, to God's way. And I trusted Jesus Christ. I turned from my way. I repented of my way to get to heaven, to deal with my sin. And I totally put my faith and trust in God's way, the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone." And she said, "You know, now I know. Now I know." And she was so glad. She said, "I know I'm going to heaven. I'm off that road to hell. I know I'm on the road to heaven and eternal life." Oh, dear friend, God, in times like these, wants you. He wants you to quit putting off getting saved. Oh, to quit saying someday. Some of you have heard this message before. Maybe your son or your daughter's talked to you about it. Maybe your wife's talked to you about it. Maybe a preacher's talked to you about it. You know, God's trying to get your attention. It's time to get ready. Time's passing. Life is so fragile and frail. It's time to know that you're going to heaven. Not hoping, thinking, maybe, and it's time to know it. And you can know it. That's the Bible message of hope. That's the Bible message of hope. And I'll tell you something, I'm so glad that in the midst of times like this in my life, that I have a hope that's solid and secure Because it's based not on me. It's not based on my church. It's based on the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you today please God? Would you today want to please God? How can I do that, you say, preacher? The first step to pleasing God is you get off the road to hell and get on the road to heaven. Would you do it today by receiving Christ your Savior? Let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. And with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I wonder right where you're seated now as you've been watching this live stream. Would you, right there where you're seated, just bow your heart in humility and say, Lord, I'm turning from my ways to deal with my sin. I'm turning from my ways. I'm turning to your way. I want Jesus Christ to come to my heart and save me. Would you right there where you're seated just pray a prayer of faith in your heart of hearts and just say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I've got this disease of leprosy, this disease of sin. I was born with it. And Lord, I don't want it to take me to a horrible eternity in hell. I want to be set free from it. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Lord, I'm putting my faith and trust in you, totally and completely. Would you do that right where you're seated? We'll give you a few seconds to make that choice and that decision. As we bow our heads in a moment of silent prayer, would you make that decision right today? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you made that decision and you asked the Lord to save you, would you let us know about it? Would you just text us here, the church, Bible Baptist Church, give us a phone call and say, you know, Pastor, I just want you to know I trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior today. Oh, we'd love to hear about that. We'd love to rejoice with you. You can email us, and just let us know, even over the Facebook, or just let us know that we might rejoice with you. We'd like to help you in any way we can. So if you did pray that prayer and you really meant it, please let us know about it. And then, child of God, you know, are you someone that God can use? You know, if it wouldn't have been for this little girl who was dedicated to being used of God, this story of Naaman ending up in heaven for all eternity would never have taken place. Christian, this is a time to right there dedicate yourself to being used of God. Say, God, I just need to get that a stronger focus in my life of being used of God. Would you make that decision, child of God, where you're sitting? You say, Lord, I just want to let you know I want to be used of God. You know my greatest desire? You know what my greatest desire in life is? To be used of God. To be used of God. Have you ever told that to God? Lord, my greatest desire is to be used of you. Maybe you need to. Maybe, I'll tell you, that'd be really pleasing to him, child of God. If you would dedicate yourself and just say, Lord, I want to be used of God wherever it would be. I want to be used of God. So I trust that you do that. Father, we just thank you so much for the Word of God and this wonderful story in the Bible of Naaman. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be like him. I thank you for the day of my life when I became like him and I turned from my way to get to heaven. I totally put my trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, your way, Lord. And I thank you for that day. Lord, I pray you might use us as Christians in this day, Lord, when the world is so confused and so befuddled by a disease. I pray that you'll use me and you'll use us as Christians to be the shining light, to be filled with the peace and joy of the Lord in our life, that we might radiate him to a lost and dying world. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.